much about.
You gotta put it into perspective.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
Turn around. Slowly. Keep your hands up so you can see how you look. Turn around. It looked like you stole a midget pants. Big as you is. How short the pants look. And they about up under your behind. And how skinny they are. You can't even pull them up. Girls don't even wear their pants that tight. Pull them up. Big as you is. You about to be 16. Looking like you got a 10-year-old pair of pants on. I know your nuts hurt.
Let me ask you, for a guy like me, in high school, I was like a fat, short, little nerdy guy. So what would your character do to my self if I was in that show in high school?
And now.
People like hearing that. It's probably one of my stronger anecdotes.
Our feature presentation.
It was a masterful question.
Masterful. Yes, it was.
It was beautiful.
No one else could have said it.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean show for a Tuesday morning. It's 5:34. Here's a story that does not come out of Florida, which is odd.
Oh, I don't like it then.
Well, just wait and listen.
All right.
You know how psychics are fake?
You think they are.
What
not
about
everyone
you?
Does.
What do you think?
I think they're fake.
Yeah. Seems like they're fake. But the ones like this give the ones that, who knows if any of them are real, but let's.
I think some of them think they're real.
Yeah.
Truly believe it.
But most of them know they're fake and still do it anyway.
Yeah.
Take advantage of people. Well, there's a psychic in this story who is collecting money from people because the money is cursed. So she'll say, look, you've got a curse on your money. So what you need to do is give it to me, and then I'll remove the curse and give it back to you.
And let me guess, the money is never returned.
How did you know? Did you read the story?
I don't know. I'm psychic.
This is not the first time Deborah Marks has been arrested for this. She's been arrested two other times
really?
For taking people's money.
People give it to her?
Always under the same guise, which is that it needs to be cleaned.
How much? Does
huge
it say?
Amounts.
Really?
One of them was $51,645 worth of jewelry and money.
No.
So the jewelry is also cursed. What are the chances? So she takes the jewelry and the money, and then she says, I'll clean it, and then she moves.
Well, yeah.
And she
She's
cleans
got
it.
Moving cash.
She cleans it by spending it. But another woman gave her $30,000. What?
God, people are so gullible.
Yes, they are.
It's sad.
It doesn't make any sense, especially if it's a pretty small community. She's
Where
been.
Is this?
I don't remember exactly what city it was. It's in the Midwest someplace.
Okay.
But, you know, this is the third time the psychic's been jailed for taking people's money. And
you know,
you would think that word would get around, hey, by the way.
I was going to say, you think, like, if you believe in voodoo, that's the kind of stuff, like, there's curses and stuff. But in the Midwest, where?
Yeah, exactly.
Where is that
the
coming
small
from?
Small town? You would just think, well, okay, that person's been arrested. It's got to be in the local paper, you know, two or three times for giving them $30,000.
I wonder if they're elderly people. They actually, there's changes in their brain that make them more gullible.
Is that true?
Mm-hmm. As
really?
You age. Yeah, which is why.
That's why.
Elderly people are preyed on the most.
Oh,
isn't that fascinating?
Let me make a note.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, so three different times, $30,000, $50,000. That kind of amounts of money. We're going to talk about people who are gullible today. That's going to be one of our topics.
Fall for.
Also on today's Kevin and Bean Show, we have Chris Jericho. I don't know if you've seen the ads for this, but the Robot Combat League. You remember the movie Real Steel?
Yes.
Where they have fighting robots? This is
yes.
This is that for reals.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So they have different teams, and most of them are some kind of scientists, they say. And then they get a robot, and they go out, and they literally put on the gear so that the person throws a right hook, the robot throws a right hook in the ring.
That is so cool.
It looks really awesome. Looks like the kind of thing you would need to drink, and then you'd have the best time of your life.
Absolutely.
So we're going to talk to Chris Jericho about that today. We also have Doug Benson, one of the comedians from April Foolishness. Doug Benson is going to be in the studio. He's got a project, and this might surprise you, about weed, called The Greatest Movie Ever Rolled.
Okay.
And basically, he decided to do a tour so that he could get money to make a movie about doing a tour. I believe that's the story.
Sounds about right.
We're going to tell you about vampire facials and blood facials.
Oh, come on.
Today.
Really?
Yeah. Good times. Got a brand new citizen of the day. Let's see. We have, we're going to talk to the person who's selling the zombie perfume.
Oh, all right.
The perfume that smells like dirt.
Yeah. I'd like to know a little more about that.
Terrible idea that is. But we're going to talk to them today and find out what's going on. And we have your tickets for April Foolishness as well coming up in the 6 o'clock hour. That's your chance. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Ralph Showbiz Beat now. We have your tickets coming up in the next hour in the 6 o'clock hour for Kevin Amin's April Foolishness. So keep listening for your chance to win that about a half hour from now. Right now it's time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
It is Tuesday, as
Jonesy
would say. March the 12th. Let's take a look at what's going on in the world of entertainment. Because it is Tuesday, that means new CDs and DVDs are released traditionally on a Tuesday. Here's what's available. Sound City, Reel to Reel. The Sound City album from the documentary by Dave Grohl. Awesome music from that. You can check it out. What About Now by Bon Jovi. Bon Jovi's got a new CD today.
Bon Jovi has to be 100.
Well,
hasn't he been a singer since you were born?
No. The 80s, of course, is when they started, and they were young then, so they're probably not that old.
All
I'm
right.
guessing not 100.
Not 100.
I would say I'll take
make
the under. I would take the under.
Under 100?
David Bowie. His new album, The Next Day, is also available today. You can pick it up on CD. DVDs. Sound City.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's so good.
I want to see that.
Awesome, awesome documentary. I think you'll really enjoy it if you pick that up. Rise of the Guardians, the animated film about Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny and Tooth Fairy and that crowd there. Very entertaining. Life of Pi, if you missed out on the Oscar favorite, you can check it out. Who Framed Roger Rabbit, the 25th anniversary edition on Blu-ray. You can check that out today as well. So that's what's available for your CD and DVD dollar. One Direction's being immortalized in one of Kevin's favorite places.
One of my favorite places?
Yep.
Oh, I bet I know.
Do you, Lisa?
Wax Museum.
Madame Tussauds Wax Museum.
That's fine because no one will recognize it.
They're making a life-size wax statues of all five singers. And then the statues are going on a world tour.
They're
going
to take the wax statues.
Statues are going on tour. They will hit London in April through July, then New York City from July through October, and then Sydney, Australia from October to January. You can see the wax One Direction. Maybe they have little wax groupies and they have wax sex afterwards. And they melt because they're so hot. Speaking of hot, that Jennifer Lawrence, she's the real deal.
Yeah.
Wow, you need a new
bell.
Needs,
Hang on. Needs to take the instruction for the bell.
There you go. She's got a new best friend.
New best friend or
new
boyfriend?
Best friend. New best friend.
Best friend.
Yeah. Apparently she and Adele hit it off at the Oscars, and now they're best buddies.
Could see that, right?
How much fun would those two be?
Yep.
They would be like the best time at the party.
Totally.
Adele is awesome.
Yes, she is, and so is Jennifer Lawrence.
Yeah.
And Jennifer is headed to London to film another installment of X-Men later this year, and Adele wants her to move to her neighborhood of Notting Hill so they can hang together. So if you own a pub around there, I think you'll be in good stead.
Those two coming in for some pints.
Oh, just turn that place on its head. Is Sharon Stone the worst boss in history?
Oh, potentially.
I mean, besides Bean. But it is potential. She's got a slap with a second lawsuit from another housekeeper this week. She's already got one.
What was the first one for?
The first was by a former housekeeper named Erlinda Ellman, who sued Sharon for wrongful termination and harassment, claiming Sharon Stone would not allow her to read the Bible or speak in her native Filipino voice in front of her children. So she couldn't speak Filipino and she couldn't read the Bible in the presence of her children at any time.
Okay.
Secondly, Angelica Castillo slapped Sharon Stone with a lawsuit this week, claiming she injured her back while lifting heavy groceries for the actress. Castillo claimed she was under doctor's orders to avoid any heavy lifting, but Sharon Stone said that was stupid, called her crazy, and forced her to lift the bags, and then she re-injured her back. And then when she couldn't work because she was injured, she fired her.
Wow.
So that's another lawsuit.
So she doesn't seem
the moral
fun.
Of the story, boys and girls, is don't work for Sharon Stone.
Yeah.
At least don't be her housekeeper, because it's bad. Oh, could you believe last night when Sean picked Catherine? I could.
Oh, do not tell me you're talking about the
Bachelor, Bachelorette thing.
It's Bachelor, Lisa.
No way. No way. Get real.
Sean handed out his final rose last night to Catherine over Lindsay. A lot of people were surprised. I wasn't. I saw Catherine come a mile away.
You did, huh?
Once Desiree was out of the picture, I said, I bet it's Catherine. The good news is, Desiree, the new bachelorette, hello! Hello!
Is that good?
Yes, it's great!
Okay.
She's adorable!
Okay.
She's like a sexier Katie Holmes.
All right.
Yeah.
I like that.
She's spectacular.
I'm not going to watch it.
That's
but...
good news for everyone. Especially me and Petros. I'm very, very happy.
Ralph and Petros, the only two I know that only watch, not only watch it, but love it.
Yeah.
It's great television.
Yeah.
Speaking of great television, John Malkovich is coming back to the small screen. He is going to be in an upcoming NBC summer series called Crossbones, a 10-episode action-adventure series about pirates.
Ooh.
Takes place in the 1700s and promises to deliver the true legend of the most notorious pirate ever to sail the earth, Blackbeard. Malkovich will play Blackbeard.
That All right. sounds fun.
It does sound fun. Show will be based on the Bahamian island of New Providence, where the pirates all hang out and be all piratey. Finally, a movie about pirates. Where have the pirates been?
That's
Why
true.
Is no one paying any attention to the pirates?
Oh, wait a minute. There's the Johnny Depp.
Maybe a little late for the pirate bandwagon. And I got very excited when I saw this news. ABC has a new pilot for a series called Influence, about a pair of brothers who head a unique agency. They specialize in dealing with their clients' problems using the very real science of human motivation and manipulation. They will manipulate the people around you and involved in your life to solve your problems.
All right.
Sounds like
interesting.
A cool idea, doesn't it? Influence is starring Steve Zahn. I got even more excited when I saw Steve Zahn was going to be in it, because he's one of my favorite actors. And then they just cast the other brother. It's Christian Slater. So
Ooh,
I can't
wow.
get excited.
It's not going to work.
Because the show's going to be canceled in three episodes.
Show killer.
So now I feel bad. Slater the show killer. That's as it's known. Today's celebrity birthdays. Actress Liza Minnelli, 76 years old today. Just recently filmed more stuff for Arrested Development. The next season of Arrested Development.
Can't wait.
She's back. James Taylor, singer and songwriter, is 65 years old. Ron Jeremy. Still kicking.
Yeah,
how about that?
How about
amazing.
That? Recuperating as we speak from that aneurysm he had.
He's doing more than kicking.
Zing! He's 60 years old today. Aaron Eckhart, super talented actor, of course, from Dark Knight. He's got that new Olympus Has Fallen coming up. He plays the president.
Clearly not who I thought
it's
it was.
It's a guy.
you're Two-Face? Ringing the bell for Aaron Eckhart?
I was, yeah.
Remember Two-Face?
Yeah, I do.
Oh.
Once he went into the Batman Two-Face thing, I was like, dreamy?
It's the wrong person.
Excuse me. anyway, that new movie, Olympus Has Fallen.
Yes, yes.
Have you seen the trailer for that?
I have. It looks
awesome.
Where
he's the president and the terrorist attack and they take the White House?
Take over the White House,
oh,
yes.
My God. Looks amazing. He's 45 years old today. Pete Doherty from Baby Shambles. He was the longtime boyfriend of, who's that super skinny model?
Yeah,
Kate Moss. Right. Yeah.
34 years old. Actor Sam Levine from Freaks and Geeks and Inglorious Bastards is 31. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
We've got your tickets coming up next for Kevin Amin's April Foolishness 2013, which is Saturday, April 6th. Gibson Amphitheater featuring Jay Moore, Bill Burr, Doug Benson, who we have in a little bit later on this morning, Rob Delaney, Ari Shaffir, and Brad Williams. Again, the proceeds, for those of you that bought the tickets, thank you. All the proceeds go to the Wounded Warrior Project and Cedars-Sinai NICU. And we're going to give you a chance to win those tickets coming up next with Stump Pat O'Brien.
Oh, okay.
So you just have to have a question in mind that you call with, and then you'll be able to ask Pat O'Brien. It can be about any of the comedians that we just mentioned that are on the bill, or any other comedians in history, really. I mean, Pat knows everything there is to know about comedians.
Excellent.
So give us a call, 1-800-520-1067, and we'll do that right after a brand new Citizen of the Day.
And now it's time for you to meet Kevin and Bean's Citizen of the Day.
Love dumb crime. It just makes me happy about myself, I think, really.
Because you haven't done it?
Well, yeah, because I haven't done it yet.
Okay.
Because at some point I'm going to be reported as a dumb crime on some radio station somewhere.
That's true.
The first one comes out of Lake Halley, Wisconsin at a Walmart. Thursday, Jared Carr returned a printer. And he didn't have a receipt. He didn't even have proof that he bought the printer at the Walmart.
Mm-hmm.
He left some of his work in it, though, and his work was counterfeit $100 bills.
Oh, no.
So he returned it to the Walmart. He gave it to them. They opened it up, and they were like, hey, here's some copies of $100 bills in here.
A Wisconsin man returning a printer to Walmart ended up in jail because of what was found inside it.
And as store employees checked the printer, they discovered two counterfeit $100 bills.
Carr probably could have gotten away with the crime, but Gizmodo reports he insisted on an inspection. When police arrived, Carr attempted to fight them off, and when they took him into custody, they found more homemade money on him. His first mistake, besides the whole returning a printer with money in it part, thinking counterfeiting bills would be as easy as pressing print.
That's all he did. He was just making copies. He wasn't even, like, really making counterfeit bills.
He thought he was going to pass that out.
I have one $100 so bill. I'm going to be able to make as many as I want, and then I can return the printer.
He's too dumb to be on the street.
That's correct. The next one is Adam Roberts. This is a guy who has a skeleton face tattoo. I don't know if you saw this, but I tweeted it out yesterday.
Okay.
He's got a, you know, the Mike Tyson face tattoo?
Yes.
He's got that over his whole face.
Really?
Yes. Covering his whole face, a face tattoo.
Oh, my God.
And then he committed a crime.
Well, they'll never identify him.
Right. How can you, or were there any marks that stood out on him? Yeah, his whole face tattoo. He burglarized 28 storage lockers and then was fencing all of the stolen material. He was online. He was trying to sell a black compact refrigerator, fishing gear, televisions, professional wrestling DVDs, paintings, antique chest, a mirror, a sewing machine, all the stuff that he got from these storage units.
But the guy can't get a job. Who's going to hire a skeleton face?
Exactly. He was charged with 3 counts of burglary and was held on $60,000 bond in St. Louis.
He didn't even wear a ski mask?
No!
God almighty!
He went out with a full face tattoo, which is the best. And then there's Brianna Pretty. It sounds like P-R-E-T-T-Y. It's P-R-I-D-D-Y.
And I bet she's not pretty.
It doesn't really
have a picture?
Show her. No,
oh,
but
right.
Her wallet was stolen on February 13th during a night out with her friends.
Uh-huh.
And since then, somebody's been writing bad checks with it, and they're basically trying to steal her ID.
Oh, okay.
So she was a waitress at a restaurant, and a group of 4 people came in and ordered drinks. And what do you think happened?
Colorado Applebee's customer got more than she ordered when she presented a stolen driver's license to the waitress the ID actually belonged to.
So the waitress walks up and says,
"What are the chances?"
Right, because her picture's on it. The waitress's picture is on the ID. So the woman who stole her ID presented the ID to her, the waitress, so that she could buy drinks.
And
the
waitress, I hope she just smacked her down.
She didn't. She went back and called the police and kept waiting on her. Which is smart.
Oh, yeah, that is
At
smart.
First, they looked like any other customers.
4 people come in, walk in, sit down.
Brianna Pretty soon learned who they really were.
They start ordering drinks. This girl hands me my ID as a fake ID.
You see, Brianna Pretty's wallet was stolen on February 13th. The thief took her cash, credit cards, and her driver's license. Since then, someone had been using her identity to write hundreds of dollars in bad checks. But according to Metro, Pretty didn't lose her cool. Instead, she called police in the back of the restaurant and continued serving the table until they arrived to arrest the woman. Dumb criminal. That's the first word that comes to mind, said police spokesman Steve Davis.
Sure. Sure. Dumb criminal. Just dumb.
How satisfying.
No kidding.
That never happens.
To have the woman give
you
your own ID.
Oh, I love it so much.
And then call the cops.
Now you know, Kevin and Beans... Citizen of the Day.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:34. Time to give away some more tickets for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness.
We're going to stop Pat O'Brien.
Yeah.
He's a giant, pump his ass.
That's right.
And he knows about comedians.
Do
everything and everyone.
Yeah.
And can you stop Pat O'Brien?
Nope.
He's the biggest douche of all.
That's right.
And can you stop Pat O'Brien?
Nope.
The biggest douche of all. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Douche.
Wow. That's an unfair characterization, I think.
Do you?
But just going right into the music. No hello, no good morning, nothing. I just came in here and, I know, thought you guys were my friends.
Hartman told us to hit it.
No, Hartman knows how I roll. He wouldn't have said that because Hartman and I have the biggest radio show in Los Angeles right now.
Speaking of which,
very successful show.
See if you can quickly summarize your theory, your career for people who may not be aware of you.
Well, I've been in the entertainment business for a long time as a journalist. Started out as a journalist in news,
right,
and then went on to many successful years as a sports broadcaster, CBS, NBA. Michael Jordan, good friend of mine.
Sure.
We came up in the business together.
Right.
Then, of course, I was a successful television anchor and worked on The Insider with Lara Spencer.
Right.
We did many popular years together on that show. And then sure. Now, of course, in radio, Hartman and I have a show we do on AM 570. And it's a very successful show. Hugely popular show.
Hugely popular.
I've got a book that I'm working on.
Mm-hmm.
I got a speaking tour coming up.
Right.
I'm wildly popular.
Okay.
And
all
I
right.
have lots of influential and famous friends. And I think you're a little jealous about that, frankly. And that's why you take your shots. But if you want to come down to Sepulveda and Ventura, I'll be there. I'll be right there in the corner. You know what I look like.
I do know what you look like.
And
yeah.
You're
sitting right in front of me.
And I'll knock you out. I'll do it.
Well, that...
Ask Hartman. He knows. He knows how I roll.
There's no one here by the name of Hartman.
Hartman's right here.
He's not here.
He's right there.
All
There's
right.
Hartman.
Let's take some calls.
Anyway, I know a lot of people.
Right.
A lot of people in show business.
Mm-hmm.
They're good friends of mine. And I know all about them. And if you have any questions, I bet you can't stump me.
All right. Let's start with Alex then. The first question. Hi, Alex. Hello, Alex. Going once, going twice.
Alex.
Yep.
Hey, Alex.
There he is.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey, how are you doing this morning? You're with Pat O'Brien here in the Kevin and Bean Show.
Awesome.
All right. What's your question?
So here's my question. Where did Jim Carrey get his start in? What television show?
Jim Carrey, of course, a wildly popular comedian.
Right.
Ace Ventura was a big hit for him.
Right.
With Dan Marino showing up in that film as well, about the Dolphins.
Right.
Danny Marino and I were friends for many years. Back when I was covering the NFL, we used to hang out together.
He's
in
not
South
asking
Beach.
About Dan Marino,
but that's back when I was still battling my demons.
Right.
But I'm sober now.
Right.
And Danny, you know, recently in trouble, had that child out of wedlock.
Pat, I'm sorry to interrupt, but Alex wanted to know what TV show Jim Carrey got started on.
Anyway, I'm getting to it. Jim Carrey was on the... in that Ace Ventura movie.
Right.
And that was his big film after he made a success for himself on television.
Yes.
Yes.
As Marshal Matt Dillon in Gunsmoke.
Was it Gunsmoke, Alex?
No, it was not.
I have to beg to differ with you there,
all right.
buddy.
Tell Pat what it was.
In Living Color.
In Living Color, right.
Nah, I'm pretty sure that's wrong.
It's not. It's right.
Well, ask Hartman. He'll tell you.
Hold on. Hartman's not here. There's
Jim
no
Carrey
one here.
Was on Gunsmoke.
All right. Let's go.
Marshal of Dodge City for many seasons.
Let's go to Joey. Hi, Joey.
I'm a pretty good shot myself, by the way.
Right.
With
morning,
a six
Kevin.
Gun.
Name is May.
Good morning.
Say hi to Pat.
Hey, Pat. What's up?
Hey, how's it going there, Joey?
Good. Just don't meet me on the corner of Ventura, please.
Hey, I'll be there. You wanna come on down? You know what I look like. I'll be there waiting for you. I don't care. I'll drop you.
All right. Question I have is, what TV show did your midget comedian Brad Williams come on Animal Planet?
Animal Planet,
yes.
That's a wildly popular basic cable channel.
Right.
A lot of people like animals. You know, I was the first broadcaster to interview Lassie. It's true. Lassie had a successful TV series for many years. He even did some films. She was a great dog.
Right, but Joey...
And, I had a sit-down interview with Lassie where we talked about her trainer.
How'd that go?
It went well.
Yeah.
We shared a couple of those dog biscuits together.
Right.
And, you know, Lassie would only drink imported water.
Is that right?
In a bowl, yeah.
I was not aware
she
of
was
that.
A bit of a diva.
Listen,
some
Pat,
would say a bit of a bitch.
Brad
but
Williams.
I wouldn't. I liked her. We were friends.
Brad Williams was on a TV show on the Animal Planet. I think that's what the question was about.
Yeah, he was on he was the referee of the Puppy Bowl.
Was he the referee of the Puppy Bowl, Joey?
No, he came out on Pit Boss, a TV show about midgets and pit bulls.
Yeah. How about that?
How about that? You stumped Pat. Hold on. We're going to put you in the drawing.
I sworn he was the referee of the Puppy Bowl.
Well, you would have been wrong, though, Pat.
Well, I know sports, and I know show business, and I'm pretty sure he was the referee of the Puppy Bowl.
Ricardo, hello.
Hey, good morning. Kevin Bean.
Hi there. Stump Pat.
What year was the last year that Dave Chappelle made his last show on Dave Chappelle Show?
All right.
Do you want me to rephrase?
I'm a little confused by the question.
Yeah,
it was the
sorry,
last
well,
year of the veil.
Like I'm doing drugs again.
Of
I'm
the
just,
Dave Chappelle show.
Swimming.
You're not at all. You're
sure?
Clean. Yeah, you've been
I'm
clean
sober.
For a while.
No, I'm sober.
Yeah. What was the last year Dave Chappelle
last
did a show?
Last Chappelle show.
Yeah.
Ricardo's asking that?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, Ricky Ricardo was the character that Desi Arnaz played on I Love Lucy.
Irrelevant.
Yeah.
And just before Lucy passed away, great lady, by the way.
Right.
We were very close friends, Lucille Ball and I. Okay. And I would sit down and I asked her questions about
Pat, no one's
Desi
asking
Arnaz,
you about Lucille Ball.
And he did a lot more than people give him credit for in terms of inventing the sitcom.
Okay.
A lot of people believe that.
Ricardo wants to know what was the last year Dave Chappelle did his show.
Dave Chappelle did his last show, I believe, 1967. I think it was the Summer of Love when Chappelle did his last show.
I'm not even sure he was born then.
I'm pretty sure that was the last year.
Ricardo, was it 67?
No, it was 2007.
2007.
I'm pretty sure you're wrong there, Ricardo.
He's not even that old. He's not old enough to have been doing a show.
Chappelle opened Woodstock. I remember that much.
Thank you,
I was
Ricardo.
In a band in the 60s. Playing keyboard. It was pretty good, by
I
the
heard
way.
You were pretty good.
All and right, we were there at Woodstock. And right. I'm pretty sure Dave Chappelle played the Star Spangled Banner on the guitar and lit it on fire.
That was Jimi Hendrix.
They're both black, though.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
I'm just saying, they're both black.
Let's go to Russell.
That's a fact.
Hi,
that's
Russell.
Science.
Hello?
Hi.
Russell Brand?
Oh.
Is this Russell Brand?
Oh. Yeah, it is.
Hey,
that
Russell.
Such a douche.
Big fan of yours. I remember when you and Katy Perry were still together. We hung out and
we
played Mahjong that night. Remember? Mahjong at the Playboy Club in Vegas. Remember
yeah,
that?
Little do you know, Pat.
All right, Russell.
Not sure what that means.
I don't either. But
what's your question,
what's your
Russell?
Question?
Well, I want to know who the shortest comedian is on the bill.
Ooh, good.
On the April Foolishness bill.
Go a little easier
that's
on this
correct.
One.
That's correct.
Yeah. Shortest comedian.
Yes.
You remember Billy Barty, speaking of short people? Billy Barty was a legendary entertainment little person.
Right, but he's not on our show.
He fought for the rights of little people in show business.
Right.
You know, a lot of time they would keep him in cages on the set.
That's not true.
They would feed him old bananas for some reason, black bananas. They could get them, I guess, at a discount down there at the farmer's market.
That
they would
is
just
a lie.
Rotting black bananas, yeah. Give them to midgets in cages.
Oh,
and Billy Barty started the Little People of America.
Russell would like to know
to get rights for people like himself. And, of course, he worked with Sid and Marty Krofft a lot.
Who's the shortest comedian on the bill?
I believe he was Sigmund and Sigmund the Sea Monster.
Pat, focus. Smallest comedian on the bill this year.
Smallest?
Yes.
Shortest comedian on the bill.
Yes.
I guess that'd be Bill Burr.
Is it Bill Burr, Russell?
I don't think it is. I believe it's Brad Williams.
Brad Williams is 4'4".
Tall.
Right.
I think we're going to have to agree to disagree on that one. Brad Williams, I'm pretty sure, is over 6 feet.
He's not.
I saw him on the Animal Planet. He was the referee of the Puppy Bowl, and he was towering over those puppies.
Check it out, Pat. I'm going to be at the corner of Sepulveda and Ventura.
You know what I look like. I'll meet you.
I'm leaving Home Depot right now.
I'll be right there. All right. Well, I'll see you there. Ask Hartman. He knows.
Hartman's
I'll lay
not
you
here.
Out. I'll lay you out.
All right.
I'll lay you out.
Let's do the drawing before this gets any uglier,
okay.
Shall we?
Speaking of drawings.
Nope.
Charles Schulz used to draw peanuts.
Hang on, Pat.
He was a good friend of mine.
All right, hold on, Pat.
He drew me a Snoopy once, still up on my wall, by the way.
All right.
The winner is Alex.
The winner is Alex. Congratulations, Alex. You got tickets to Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness.
Awesome. Thanks a lot, Kevin and Bean.
Thank you for playing. Thank Pat.
Yeah. Hey, Pat. Thank you.
I'll see you in the corners of Palmer and Ventura, my friend.
Okay.
Thanks for stumping Pat O'Brien.
Yeah.
He's a giant pump his ass.
That's right.
Coming up later on the show, we're going to talk to Chris Jericho about Robot Combat League. And we also have comedian Doug Benson in the studio.
Yes.
Doing a new movie called The Greatest Movie Ever Rolled.
See, because Morgan Spurlock did a movie called The Greatest Movie Ever Sold.
Right.
And this is about
rolled.
Hot.
Correct.
And you roll a joint.
Right. And also new zombie fragrances that you can buy for him and her.
Excellent.
Finally.
Find out about that just after the top of the hour. First, Ralph is here with the show Biz Beat.
Ah, smells like rotting flesh. Smells like the undead. Nothing sexier. Hey, Weezer's in the hospital. No, Marcy's in the hospital. More on Weezer in a moment. But Marcy is in the hospital having problems with his bleeding ulcer in January. Now he's in San Francisco in a medical facility being treated for double pneumonia.
Mm.
Wow, that seems bad.
Yeah, he's having a lot of health issues. Doctors say it all stems from him being a humorless bastard. I don't know how that translates into
I don't think anyone
ailments, but apparently it's true.
Never said that.
Well, he is.
Oh, I don't like duck hunting. Oh, I love David Bowie.
And your ulcer bursts, and then you die. Weezer. I mentioned Weezer earlier.
In the hospital?
No, they're fine.
They're fine.
This is the latest Weezer news, though. They are hitting the water. 2014 Weezer Cruise is on. They are now accepting passengers for the Weezer Cruise. You get on a cruise liner with Weezer.
That's one of the few celebrity ones I think I would like.
I think it'd be a blast. Yeah. Weezer will do two sets on the boat and a concert on the band's own private island that the boat will dock on.
They own an island?
Yes. It pushes off from Jacksonville, Florida on February the 13th. Again, this is 2014, so you have a whole year to prepare. Stopping in Freeport and Nassau in the Bahamas, which Nassau, one of my favorite places in the world, for Valentine's Day and President's Day weekend. So you get to spend all that time. You head back to port on February the 17th. So you have a blast with Weezer, listening to their music and traveling around with them on a cruise liner. You can go to theweezercruise.com for more information to get your tickets and stuff, but maybe Weezer fans might be interested in that.
Sounds like fun.
I think it does. Justin Bieber is a massive douchebag. Bieber's fans love Kevin, though.
They do.
He's having a lot of friendly conversations on Twitter with them.
I'm on the radar now, and I love it.
That's what happens when you hashtag Bieber. It's like throwing a dog a bone. Anyway, his best friend Lil Twist is at it again. I don't know if you heard the reports or not.
That's the guy that always gets in trouble for driving his car, right?
Right. He got pulled over in his Ferrari. Remember in January, that's when that photographer got hit, taking pictures of Lil Twist in the Ferrari.
Right.
He bottomed out in that vehicle later that month. Was spotted cruising around in Justin's Range Rover last Sunday. Now, he has crashed Justin's Fisker Karma.
Love it.
The $100,000 Fisker Karma was wrapped around a pole outside a liquor store by Lil Twist.
What is a Fisker, Ralph?
Fisker. It's a Fisker. Fisker. Never heard of a Fisker before?
Right.
It's
okay.
A Fisker.
Thank you.
Rumor has it a BMW pulled up shortly after the incident. The driver of the BMW told Lil Twist to pick up all the pieces and put them in the trunk of the car.
Yes.
And Chris Brown was in the shotgun seat. He was in the passenger seat of the BMW. No one knows who was driving, but Chris Brown was in the passenger seat.
Really?
Yeah. So apparently, Bieber has some automatic car parts retrieval system online all the time. When somebody has an accident, they go by and pick up the fender and they throw it in the trunk. And they left the rest of the car behind, but eventually it was towed and no one knows what's happened yet. But what a douchebag.
You think?
Lil Twist is not a guy I would give my car keys
to. No.
And sadly, it doesn't look like we're going to get that triple X version of 50 Shades of Grey after all.
Isn't it basically... I mean, it's hard to parody or do anything further than that, right?
Yeah, Smash Pictures was the name of the porn production company that was doing, they claimed, a porn parody of 50 Shades of Grey, but in essence, it was pretty much a shot-for-shot reproduction of the sex scenes that were in the book. Universal Studios, meanwhile, has paid $5 million for the book rights to make their own movie, so they were suing them to get an injunction against them, and it worked. Now, here's the thing. Smash took an interesting tact after the parody thing looked like it wasn't going to fly. They said that 50 Shades of Grey was in the public domain because E.L. James, the author of the piece, originally published it online on fan fiction websites.
Is that how it works?
That's how the book got started.
Right.
A lot of it was published online initially.
But, does that mean they don't have to pay?
Well, it doesn't. I mean, that argument was legally flawed, and so Smash Pictures had to cave, and so now they will no longer be distributing any XXX adaptation of any of the E.L. James novels or showing the one that they've already got. So we lose. We don't get to see hot sex with ties and things and stuff.
If I recall correctly, you said the name was 50 Shades of Brown.
No, that was a different movie. It was to do with enemas, I believe.
I pooped my pants.
Oh, come on! Sean picked Catherine last night. Woohoo!
Woo!
Told you. I predicted Catherine. Desiree was gone, it was down to Ashley and Lindsay and Catherine. I said, oh, he's got to go with Catherine.
You have an unnatural love for The Bachelor.
I liked Ashley, but she seemed a little intense. And I think what that was proven out, by the way, when you watched Women Tell All. When you saw that, you saw that Ashley was a little too tightly wound for Sean.
Not interested.
So Sean, The Bachelor, picked Catherine last night. And then they announced Desiree is going to be the new Bachelorette for next season in May. Come on, everybody. Desiree.
Who gives a damn?
She's a local girl. She's a bridal designer.
Really, there's a local girl that's an actress?
Wedding dresses. She's not an actress. She designs wedding dresses. And now she's going to be the Bachelorette. And I couldn't be more excited for her. She's awesome. He blew it, man. He should have picked her. But now some other lucky guy's going to get Desiree. I got to get
You know what you're talking about,
divorced,
the Bachelor,
so I can
right?
go on that show. I got to meet Desiree. Today's celebrity birthdays. Liza Minnelli, 67 years old today. Singer James Taylor, 65. Ron Jeremy turns 60. So glad he's on the mend. Aaron Eckhart, who Kevin gave a bell to last hour. He thinks he's dreamy. From, he, of course, Harvey Dent from The Dark Knight in the new movie Olympus Has Fallen, 45 years old today. Graham Coxon of Blur is 44. And Sam Levine from Inglourious Basterds and originally Freaks and Geeks. So good on that show. 31 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
On the way, we have Chris Jericho. We have comedian Doug Benson on his way in. Right now, though, it's time to talk about fragrances, which we don't talk a lot about on this show. One of our favorite shows is The Walking Dead. Mm. I got to be honest, I've never looked at the TV and said, I really want to smell like Rick. I really need to smell like a zombie. That's what I need.
I think that's just a world full of bad smells.
But then there's a company called Demeter Fragrance Library. I believe I'm saying that right. Is that right, Mark Crames?
Demeter Fragrance.
Demeter.
Yeah.
Demeter. Okay.
Okay, and you are selling zombie fragrance for him and her.
It's true.
Now, listen, I'm a huge fan of the zombie genre, but again, I'm not sure there's anything there for smell that I want.
Well, I don't completely disagree with you. This actually started out as an inside April Fool's joke at our company. We make a lot of unusual fragrances with names from traditional things like jasmine and honeysuckle to more unusual things like dirt and baby powder and tomato and gin and tonic.
You make a fragrance called dirt?
Yes, we do.
Why does anyone want to smell like dirt?
And if you want to smell like dirt, can't you?
I get asked that question a lot.
Yeah. I imagine.
It just seems like...
You know, we like to play with the names, so we like disruptive names but great smells. And if you think about, like, potting soil, that's really a beautiful, very wearable scent. And we use a lot of, in more traditional designer and prestige fragrances, we use a lot of mosses and earthy tones to ground those fragrances. We just like to isolate them and show you how great they can be. But we also like funky names.
Do a fragrance called B.O.?
We don't.
You need to.
We generally like them to smell good.
Well, that brings up the zombie scent. Now,
and that's correct.
For the zombie scent for him, according to your website, it's a combination of, quote, dried leaves, mushrooms, mildew, moss, and earth.
I would have to admit that this is not the most beautiful scent that we've ever done.
Right.
And what we actually tried to do is have some fun with the novelty and make it as pleasant as it could be and still represent that idea of zombie. So it would be accurate to say that this is more of a novelty scent for the fact that we're all getting ready for the zombie apocalypse than the kind of things that we do, like a honeysuckle, which is just beautiful every day, 365 days a year.
So you're saying this is almost a joke fragrance. You buy it and don't put it on, right?
It is wearable, but this was to have some fun. Like I said, it started out as an April Fool's joke inside the company, and then we got so enamored with the concept, we just decided to do it.
Yeah, that's never a good idea, by the way. We always have conversations in our meetings and stuff about what we should do, and the stuff we laugh at the most, then we put it on the show, and it's just terrible. It's not a good idea.
Well, and we couldn't help ourselves. We actually pulled the trigger.
All right, how is zombie for her different than zombie for him?
It's a little fruitier and a little bit lighter.
A little fruitier.
Now, it actually is, but we couldn't go all the way in that direction and stay true to our zombie roots, so we had to use the dregs from the bottom of the wine barrel to create that fruitiness. So it's got a little tartness to it also.
Does
a bit of that tan.
Anyone you know wear this stuff?
No.
There's actually a couple of, well, we only just started selling it the other day, but there are a couple of people wearing it. But I have people who wear fragrances called Funeral Home and Vinyl and Rubber and some other things that we make, too.
You have a fragrance called Vinyl.
Yes, we do.
Do you have
a very broad range of olfactory possibilities.
Which ones of these are the big sellers, though? I imagine all of those novelty ones are just novelty ones, right? You don't sell a lot of them.
I think that's fairly accurate.
You don't sell a lot of rubber.
But you'd be surprised, for example, dirt has been a big seller for 15 years.
Dirt has been a big seller.
our best-selling fragrances are more what you would expect them to be, to a degree. Baby powder, pure soap, laundromat, but gin and tonic is one of our top-selling fragrances. It's a beautiful scent.
Well, it sounds like you guys are doing good work. This is for real, then. People can actually order this.
They actually can, and they do, and we get to have some fun at the same time, which is a great combination.
All right, where can people go if they want to smell like a zombie?
Well, the only place you can buy Zombie right now is our website, which is DemeterFragrance.com.
D-E-M-E-T-E-R.
Yes, we did not think that this really required a full retail presence.
You're probably right about that.
But if you're having a Walking Dead party, that would be fun. Everybody has to put it on.
I think there will probably be some of that going around for the finale coming up.
I don't think you need to help guys smell worse. That's just that's my opinion.
Well, unfortunately for some guys, this might make them smell better.
Well, unfortunately, that's probably true. All right, Mark, thank you for taking the time today. We appreciate it.
You're doing good work.
Thank you.
First of all, let's talk about people who get tricked by the internet. Or by any number of places. You can get tricked by your friends. Certain people are way gullible.
Well, it's not that people are gullible. It's that I think anyone, given the right set of circumstances, can be talked into doing anything, depending on what your particular weakness is. Let's take, for example, Professor Paul Frampton. This story comes out of the New York Times. Paul Frampton is not a stupid man. He is a theoretical particle physicist. He is a professor at the University of North Carolina. But Professor Paul Frampton is also lonely and recently divorced. And he hops online and he starts talking to a young lady who he admires. He sees her picture and goes, oh my goodness, look at this stunning, beautiful woman. And that woman turns out to be smoking hot, legendary bikini model Denise Milani. Denise Milani's online and she is conversing with Paul Frampton, the professor, saying, you know what? Yes, I am a world-renowned, smoking hot bikini model, but even that life gets old, and I would like to settle down and find a nice, older, stable man who's got a nice, stable job, maybe someone in academia.
Aren't you already out at that point?
Have you seen a picture of Denise Milani?
I have.
Do you know what Denise Milani looks like?
And
by the way, Kevin thinks her boobs are too big. It's a whole nother conversation we need to have.
I said her boobs are too big for her body.
No, yeah. They're just right for her,
They're ridiculously big
for her
body.
They're right for anybody's body,
okay.
Those boobs.
But that's not the point. The point is, why would she want this professor of theoretical physics or whatever?
Because he's smart and he's intelligent and he's funny and they have wonderful conversations online, and they talk back and forth, and it's true love. And so Milani invites the professor to a photo shoot. She is doing a bikini photo shoot in the lovely country of Bolivia. And why don't you come out and join me, and we can finally meet face-to-face. I'll be shooting some photos there, and we can hang out, and we can vacation in Bolivia. And and Paul Frampton says, hold on. I've got my tickets already in my hand. And so he goes to Bolivia. And
I'm already doubting this story if I'm him.
He gets to Bolivia, and he gets to the hotel, and she's like, oh, Paul, I just missed you. I got another gig. I have to now fly to Brussels to go do another photo shoot. I had to leave so quickly, I couldn't stick around and wait for you to arrive. I had to move on. But what I'd love for you to do is come join me now in Brussels. It's a short flight.
What?
Just please come to Brussels.
Yes.
And we'll be there because I'm working in Brussels now. One last thing, Paul, before you come to Brussels. There in the hotel in Bolivia, I've left behind a suitcase. And I really need what's in that suitcase. Could you please pick it up for me and bring it with you to Brussels when you come to see me? And Paul says, of course, Denise, my love, my beautiful angel from the internet. Of course, I'd be glad to help you out. Let me take this piece of luggage with me to Brussels.
Does he say, what's in the suitcase?
See, now you're not thinking like a
gentleman.
Man in love. Exactly. Well, you're not going to go through a woman's bag. He has respect for her. So he shows up in Brussels, and as he's going through customs, well, as you may have guessed by now, the bag was inside the lining of the suitcase was filled with cocaine. And it turns out that Denise Milani was not Denise Milani at all. She was an imposter using a lonely, desperate man like Professor Frampton as a drug mule.
Imagine talking a guy into leaving North Carolina and going to Bolivia and then taking a suitcase of drugs.
This was the long con.
Unbelievable.
Turns out that Milani, his potential future wife with incredible triple D natural breasts,
not real. The whole thing was trying to get a trick a man into smuggling drugs into Brussels, where unfortunately they did meet up with him, and he could not convince the authorities that he was duped by someone posing to be the smoking hot model, but they didn't buy it, so he was sentenced to 4 years and 8 months in prison for drug smuggling. He is currently in prison in Brussels. He's not expected to be eligible for release until May of 2014 at the earliest.
Are you kidding?
So the cautionary tale there is, boys and girls, don't believe the internet. Period.
Unbelievable what she was able to get him to do. I mean, just getting him to take a flight down to
Bolivia.
Is
for
a
God's sake.
Big stretch.
Was it? Have you seen what she looked like?
I have seen her. Yeah, she's super attractive.
Yes.
But you immediately, this guy was
60. I have done so much worse for a girl that looks half as good as this. And so we were talking to the office afterwards, like, wow, people really can be talked into doing almost anything. Things that are legal, immoral, just plain stupid. This guy apparently was warned by his friends who said, look, odds are it's not Delise Milani. She's not the person you're talking to online. He refused to believe because he was lonely and he was in love and he wanted it to be true. And so this person, the imposter, more than likely a dude, I'm guessing, was able to talk him into doing anything he wanted.
Can you imagine? This guy is super book smart. Dumb when it comes to street smart, but super book smart. Sitting in jail going, I can't believe I was a professor in North Carolina, and now I'm in prison for running drugs.
I'm shocked that he couldn't convince them. I mean, with the emails and everything.
There were very condemning text messages to him sent from the person that he thought was Milani. There was a lot of evidence, but they still believed that he was in on it somehow, and he was unable
tragic.
To convince the judge in the case that he was a dupe. He was caught with the suitcase with the drugs in it. I mean, it was pretty damning evidence.
Oh, how old? 68. 70 yeah. Now. Now, today, 70 and in prison.
So sad.
We were talking to the officers. There must be many stories of our listeners who were just duped into doing things, either willingly or knowingly or unknowingly, that you are just – you look back on and say, how could I be so stupid as to let that person talk me into that?
The dumbest thing you ever got talked into.
We'd love to hear your stories. Call 1-800-520-1067. Tell us your stories of the dumbest thing that someone got you to do. Either they talked you into it or they tricked you into doing it. But we want to know, what are the big regrets in your life? Stupid things that people got you to do.
Or if you have older relatives, let's face it, you know people are falling for that stupid, I got money that I need to get out
right.
of Africa, and if you just send me some cash, I can give you millions of dollars. You know people fall for that all the time.
Or
they wouldn't do it.
What about the email scam? Oh, Lisa May, it's Ralph. I'm in London and I lost my wallet and I'm in tears here. I'm in the tube station. Can you please wire me $10,000 so I can get home?
I have gotten that email.
I know, and you get it from somebody you know and the name's right in there.
Yeah.
But someone's email has been hacked. So it doesn't have to be the internet. It could be a conversation you had at a bar. I mean, I never forget the time someone convinced me to drive to LAX. We are going to Vegas. It's the closing time at the bar. We're going to Vegas. I agree. We're in Glendale, California at the time. We're driving to LAX. We're going to catch the next available flight to Las Vegas. You and me, buddy. You and me. And I was tired and I was drunk. I was like, I really don't want to go. No, come on. We're going. And I get to LAX and there's no flight to Vegas at 2 a.m. in the morning. So there I am, drunk and tired and stupid. I said, how could I be so stupid as let you talk me into going to LAX at 2 o'clock in the morning?
Didn't you almost buy a racehorse?
I almost bought a racehorse. A lot of my stories are alcohol related. I remember the time the kid outside the 7-Eleven asked me to buy a beer for him.
That's right.
The next thing I know, I was face down on the hood of a police car.
It was a sting.
Being handcuffed. So I consider myself a smart guy, but I too have been the victim of people's persuasions and getting me to do stupid things. And I bet you have some stories,
the
too.
The dumbest thing you ever got talked into. We'll take your calls next. 1-800-520-1067. We are talking about being talked into doing something really stupid.
Now, in Professor Paul Frampton's defense, he is the North Carolina physicist who was talked into a man online who was pretending to be smoking hot bikini model Denise Milani, ended up getting Paul to participate in a drug smuggling operation from Bolivia to Brussels. In his defense, looking again at some pictures of Denise Milani online.
Oh, you did some research?
If I thought it was her talking to me, she could talk me into smuggling babies in my butt.
Is that one of her ruses?
I don't know. Whatever she wanted me to do, I think I, like Paul, would end up doing it. But we were wondering if you had any stories about times you were particularly gullible, things that people were able to convince you to do, maybe against your better judgment, and there's some spectacular ones.
Let's start with Steve. Hey, Steve.
Hey.
Welcome to. Hi there.
Okay.
So you're embarrassed because what happened? What'd you do?
$6,300 later. You know, I'm looking for a car. It's around 2004, 2001, souped up Supra, $6,300. The guy's in Great Britain, needs to get rid of it. So I Western Union the guy, $6,300. Week passes, 2 week passes, can't get a hold of the guy anymore. Lo and behold, I do a little investigation, and the car is in multiple sites.
Yeah.
Figured out that I was duped, had to pay four people back. So.
Oh. Wait, you borrowed from four people to get the $6,300?
I borrowed the majority from my uncle and three other buddies.
Oh, Steve.
Steve, couldn't you have found a used car anywhere in, I don't know, the United States of America?
Maybe, but this car was so rad. And
yeah.
You know, I was excited to get a car. I just graduated from college. And
God.
With a degree in business?
Yeah, I was in business.
Well, you did good work.
Good.
Well, lesson learned. Never trust the Limeys, right? That's your lesson.
That's right. Never trust the Limeys. That's right.
Never trust the freaking Brits.
All right. Let's go to Sam. Hi, Sam. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Kevin and Bean.
Hi.
So this was about 10 years ago. I was a teenager, still in high school, working a crappy job at a restaurant. And I was on a smoke break, and this guy approaches me out of the blue, well-dressed, you know, asks me for a cigarette. I should have known there was something wrong with this guy because he put the cigarette behind his ear and he doesn't smoke it.
Uh-huh.
But he proceeds to engage me in conversation, asks me what I'm doing with myself, and starts telling me about this construction company he has. He gives me his card, you know, shows me a couple photos of different interior design work, you know, and stuff he had done. And basically he says, you know, hey, you know, come work for me. You know, my guys are making 40, 60 bucks an hour. I say, yeah, sure, you know, sounds great. I'm working at a crappy restaurant. Don't really have anything else going on in my life.
Right.
And he happens to drop on me, hey, man, I've, you know, got one of my work trucks actually up the road, and I left my wallet back at the job site, and this thing just ran out of gas on me.
Mm.
You wouldn't happen to have, like, 50 bucks on you I could borrow for gas. I said, hey, you know what, man, I got 100 bucks on me.
Wait, you actually offered more than he was asking for.
Exactly.
Sweet. Oh,
exactly.
The perfect mark.
I have 200.
Two later, you know, I'm telling people from the restaurant what I was dumb enough to do, and they're all just looking at me, you know, cross-eyed.
You really could have made it worse by quitting.
Yeah, that's
by
true.
By walking in and going, you know what?
Screw you people. I'm entering the exciting world of construction.
Yeah, but it kind of screwed up my day.
Yeah, you think.
But you had his car. Yeah. Didn't you just call him and say, hey, can I get my money back?
Yeah, and I did. And eventually, you know, I went to the police, and it was kind of like an act. He pulled on like six or seven other dudes.
The heck you say.
In Orange County that day.
Wow.
So
good work, Sam.
Yeah,
you're the only person that we've had so far that has actually offered more than was being asked, which is an odd thing to do. All right, let's go to Maritza. Maritza, hi. Hello.
Hi. Hi, Kevin and Bean. Hi, it's me.
Hi,
Maritza.
There.
What did somebody talk you into doing?
Well, I needed to borrow money, and it worked out around. So someone came to me and said, hey, I heard you know, you need to borrow $2,000. And I said, yes, please. Lend them to me. And I said, yeah, you just want to give you a check, and all you got to do is just cash it, you know, give me the rest, and then just keep the $2,000.
How much was the check for?
$15,000.
$15,000.
Well, I figure, you know, you need a 2-former ID. He says, I don't have it. I don't have a bank account. So, you know, if my aunt gave it to me, you can just cash it and just give me the rest and keep the $2,000 and pay me whenever you can. And I said, cool. So an hour later, being in the bank, cops get there. And next thing you know, I'm in back of a cop.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Did you get arrested?
Yes. Yes, I did.
Oh,
I got arrested. I was in jail for 2 days. My kids were at home with no food.
And, well, did you say your kids were at home with no food?
Yes. So I had to call my brother to go and get them from the house, or, you know, at least look out for them, because they were a little older, so...
Oh, my God.
Wow.
They're so evil.
Then a day later, my brother comes to jail, you know, visits me. He says, your son, it was able to get $2,000 to bail you out. I'm like, how did he got $2,000? I needed the $2,000.
Yeah, where was he when you needed him?
You could have avoided all this trouble if he had come up with the $2,000.
Seriously.
Oh, my God.
But everything was, all the charges were taken away from me, so.
But what about the person who gave you the check?
Oh, Nigerian. Never found him.
Oh,
really? What
man.
A surprise. They never found him.
They never found him.
Wow. All right. Thank you, Maritza. That's the kind of thing where you're in jail for 2 days and you're just going, stupid. I can't believe that.
Mm.
Let's go to Steve. Steve, hi.
Hello?
You were talked into doing something stupid?
Yes, I was. I was talking to somebody online with Nigeria. It was a female. I was looking for a female to be with, and she needed money to be able to afford to come here, and I ended up sending her $1,700, and I was taken for $1,700.
Dude, so you had an internet relationship with this girl you thought was in Nigeria, and she wanted money to come meet up with you in the States.
Correct.
Doesn't it seem like anything out of specifically Nigeria?
They always seem to be the shaky country.
That should be the red flag. If it's in Nigeria, maybe double check it a little.
I had never heard about anything like this. I had just bought a laptop. I had only had the laptop a month. And I was on new experience to online and all this stuff. So it was, first it was just $100 here, $200 there, and then it escalated over to over
$1,700. $1,700. Was she good in the sack?
I don't think Steve ever touched her, never anything.
Well,
she wasn't a she.
What's her name? Denise Milani? Was she a bikini model?
Whoever it was put some really hot chick online.
Sure. Of course. You're not going to put an ugly girl's picture up there, Steve.
You'd only send $1,600 if she was ugly.
Well, I learned a valuable lesson, and now I know not to do that.
Yes, you did. Now you only pay for the hookers you can see in person.
That's right.
I now have a beautiful woman, and I love her a lot.
Oh, good for you.
Very nice.
Did you tell her the story about the $1,700?
I did.
And she still took you?
Yep.
Wow. But she runs the money.
On the Sci-Fi Channel, coming up just after the top of the hour, then Doug Benson will join us. He just tweeted that he's got to get really high before he comes in.
Well.
Which I found strange from him.
An artist prepares, like you said.
Time for the Showbiz Beat. Ralph is here.
Doug also wonders if he's still in contention for the papacy.
He thinks he's going to be the Pope.
Yeah.
Well, they haven't voted yet.
He doesn't think he's going to be the Pope. He just wants to know, will they let me know? Have they found out who the Pope is? Am I the Pope? He just wants to know. He just wants to be included in the loop, that's all.
I see.
Reasonable. This is going to be a good time. In fact, so much so that it's called the K-Rock Good Times Blackjack Tournament. It's happening at Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. This Friday night, March the 15th, we are having a tremendously exciting, jam-packed, action-filled blackjack tournament there at Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. The top five people are going to split prizes and cash to the tune of $10,000. Top five finishers will get a piece of that. This is only for K-Rock listeners. It's going to be a blackjack tournament with those of us here on the morning show. It's me, it's Kevin, it's Dave the King of Mexico, and Beer Mug. We're going to have an amazing tournament and then a big after party at the Just Open Tacos and Tequila restaurant there at Morongo. It's 21 and older. You can sign up by going to krock.com. That's how you can get your slot in the tournament. Or if you'd like to play with one of us, I've been giving away seats at our tables all week long. Today, it's a seat at the table with Dave, the King of Mexico. Oh, come play blackjack with me.
I guarantee he's A, never played, and B, is super confident that he'll win.
I am going to destroy at my table. He just said that as I was coming here. Oh, he said at my table, I'm going to wreck them.
I knew it.
I love to play blackjack. Anyway, if you want to sit with Dave, the King of Mexico. First, geez, beer mug we gave away yesterday.
Yeah.
Dave, today.
Don't they want
people to call in to win this?
Telling you, it's a great seat to have because you will not have competition from us.
You will move on. Let's say caller number 21, since it is blackjack. Caller number 21 right now at 1-800-520-1067. If you're caller number 21, you will get a slot at the Good Times Blackjack Tournament at Morongo this Friday. And you get to play with Dave the King of Mexico.
Don't take advice from him either.
Oh, I would split those tens if I were you. That way you get two winning hands. That's good.
Against the ace?
Yes. JK! JK!
JK!
Yeah, that's what I thought. Khloe Kardashian looks like she's admitting that she was fired from the X Factor. Sent out a mysterious tweet this week that said, "Stepping outside of your comfort zone helps you grow." Does
it spin,
or does it make you realize how biblically untalented you are? How you are just a massive, massive tool with no talent whatsoever, not even to read cue cards. She said she was grateful for the opportunity and had lots of fun. Oh, there's nothing more fun than getting fired.
That is good times.
Absolutely true. Last night, Sean picked Catherine.
Oh, woo! I couldn't believe it.
Woo! The final rose was handed out. He proposed to her with that big Neil Lane ring, and then they took a romantic elephant ride to mark the occasion.
What?
Well, they were in, I don't know,
India?
Thailand or someplace where they ride elephants. It was very, very romantic and exciting, and we all wept openly.
You wept watching openly the over Bachelor. The Bachelor last night.
But the best news of all was we found out after the final Rose special, you know, where they interview the all the participants, they announced the next Bachelorette, and it's Desiree, who we all fell in love with this season with Sean until he brutally broke her heart. Now she gets to be the Bachelorette, and we're all very excited. Aren't we?
JK!
You don't know, man. Today's Tuesday. That means new CDs and DVDs are in stores. Here's what you can pick up. Sound City, Real to Real. Music from the Sound City documentary that Dave Grohl put together brilliantly, I may add. You can get the soundtrack for that today on CD.
He plays basically on every track.
Yeah. He's one of the Sound City players. David Bowie, his new CD, which just really caught everyone by surprise. First of all, that he even did it because he was famously retired from the music business. And how good it is. It's called The Next Day. It's available. What About Now? The new Bon Jovi CD also available. On DVD, if you missed Sound City, the documentary we were just talking about, that's available on DVD. Now Rise of the Guardians, animated film with Chris Pine, Alec Baldwin, and Jude Law. Life of Pi was loved by critics and awards alike. You can check that out. Who Framed Roger Rabbit? The 25th Anniversary Edition also available today, so you can check that out. Today's celebrity birthdays. Liza Minnelli, 67. James Taylor, singer and songwriter, 65 years old. Ron Jeremy, adult film legend, is 60. Aaron Eckhart, who has that new movie called Olympus Has Fallen coming out. I can't wait to see that. 45 years old today. And Sam Levine, a talented actor from Inglourious Basterds and Freaks and Geeks. He's 31. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
First, though, let's say good morning to Chris Jericho, who joins us on the air now. Hi, Chris.
Hey, what's going on, man? You going to talk about weed and whatnot?
Weed and whatnot. Yeah.
Nice.
That's that kind of talk.
We could talk about the whatnot with me.
That's all right, let's do. Let's talk about this TV show called Robot Combat League. Because I saw the movie Real Steel, and I thought, that's so ridiculous. And now all of a sudden it's on the Sci-Fi Channel, and you're hosting.
Yeah, well, I mean, the thing about it is it's real now. I mean, the cool thing about Real Steel was that, you know, it was an interesting concept that the robots were all kind of CGI Hollywood magic. With Robot Combat League, the robots are real. The fact that this type of technology actually exists blows my mind, because when I first heard about the show, I was thinking, okay, well, what is this going to be? Is this going to be like Rock'em Sock'em robots? Is it going to be like Claymation? What's it going to be like?
Right.
The robots, they move fast. They're 8-foot-tall giant robots. They look like Terminators. They walk fast. They move fast. They punch hard. They have 2,000 pounds per square inch per punch. So if it punched you in the head, it would literally kill you. So we've created robots that can kill human beings now. And in 15 years, when they take over the planet,
yeah,
you're going to know you saw it on Robot Combat League.
Yeah, nice work, Chris. We're all going to have you to thank for the robots taking over.
My fault.
Now, what is a robo-jockey?
Well, what they are is the robots are controlled by a two-person team that we put together. All these robots were built in Hollywood. They cost about $1 million each. They're 8 foot tall. They're about a ton in weight. And there's a robo-tech that controls, like, the walking portion of the robot. Then there's the robo-jockey, which is kind of an athlete that will control the punching and the movement of the upper torso. So you put on an exoskeleton. When you punch, the robot punches. When you duck, the robot ducks. And like I said, these things freak me out, because the first time they put me in the arena and had the robot walk out to greet me, if it had to stop walking, I would have turned and ran away. Because it was really like the Terminator coming out to get you. If you've seen the scene where they're walking across the human skulls in the future,
right,
when the apocalypse happens, that's what these things reminded me of. So it really was like, this actually exists in this day and age. So it really blew me away. It's something that's never been seen before, and people are really digging it. I mean, the first episode was the highest rated series in sci-fi history.
the high. So, I mean, there's a lot of cool stuff going on. We're all curious about robots. I always wonder how it would be to actually have one, for example. And now they're actually here. So it's something, like I said, it's a concept we've never really seen before, ever.
How many teams and robots are there?
There's 12 teams and 12 different robots. They all have a different name, a different character, a different look. And the fights are, the battles are so intense. Like, that was another thing. Like, how good are these fights going to be? But they're so crazy. Like, when they start really bashing the crap out of each other, I mean, there's fire, there's smoke. Hydraulic cables are getting split, arterial fluid going all over the place. There's eviscerations. One robot got cut in two last week.
Sweet.
One robot got decapitated. One robot lost an arm. So it's like the opening scene from Saving Private Ryan, but instead of soldiers, it's robots.
And it's in a style of what, a tournament? Is that how it works? Like, you...
Yeah, it's a tournament, and it's used by boxing rules. So we did a little... a test to seed them. Top seed faces the 12th seed, second faces the 11th, and so on and so on. And there's 3 2-minute rounds. So at the end of each round, you have 30 minutes to get your robot repaired and back onto the field. And that's where these robo techs come into play. Some people will call them nerds. I call them really smart people, because they know how to fix the robots, try and figure out what the problems are. Is it a software issue, a mechanical issue? Get the robots back out into the playing field and then continue fighting. At the end of the three rounds, if one of the robots hasn't been completely destroyed, then we have boxing judges who decide who wins. And that's the thing, that we've never seen this before. So it was the Wild West. We didn't know what to expect. We didn't really know what was going to happen during the course of the show. And the cool thing was, as the show continued forward, it was the chemistry between the teams and then the chemistry that the two-person team used with the robot to make it a three-point team that really showed who was going to win these fights.
How?
And as the fights moved forward, that's how people really got more and more into it and figured out how to use these robots to their advantage.
So far that you've seen, how badly was a robot injured and then they fixed it up in that 30 minutes and put it right back out to fight?
Well, the thing is, you have 30 minutes to get it back into the arena, and if you don't, then you have, like, I think it's like a 2-hour period, and you lose points from your score. Like I said, the one that got cut in two, that happened on episode 2 last week, there really wasn't anything you could do about it. Once the robot was split, it was split, and it took, you know, like, days to fix it. But we saw, like, you know, when one of the robot arms went out and was completely just hanging like a limp noodle, they were able to fix that. But sometimes they weren't, and if you couldn't fix it in time, but your robot could still move and walk, you'd have to send it back into the arena with one arm. So there's a lot of different stuff that went on like that, where you would just have to try and repair it on the fly. Like, the robot was decapitated, they couldn't get the head back on, so it continued the fight without a head.
That's what I'm talking about. A robot fighting without a head.
Yeah, exactly. What more do you want to see in life, right?
But
it was cool because... What's that?
So, I'm sorry, go ahead. It was cool because...
I was just going to say it was cool because, like, what we did, we put together these teams, and, you know, the robo-jocks, anything from Olympic athletes to, you know, Army helicopter pilots to personal trainers to MMA fighters. And George Lucas's daughter, Amanda, is actually an MMA fighter, which I didn't know. And she was one of the contestants. So the first day I showed up on the set, you know, you're meeting everybody, and I'm like, it's great to meet all of you, but is that George Lucas standing over there? And they're like, oh, yeah, you want to go meet him?
He was just standing in the back watching?
Yeah, just standing in the back watching. He's actually on the show tonight on episode 3. And it was cool to talk to him about it and see, like, isn't it interesting how you had ideas that came out of your imagination, you know, when you were, you know, 20 years old or whatever, 30, 40 years ago, and now they're all coming true. And he was making this point that if you look at all of the sci-fi movies from the 50s and 60s, you know, the comic books, all of those kind of things that were in there as fantasy are now coming true. You know, talking robots, thinking robots, fighting robots, you know, Skype, where you can see someone on video and talk to them. And we saw that in Star Trek, like in 1966. All of these things are coming true, and it all kind of stemmed from the imagination of those guys back in that time. So it's interesting how technology has progressed, and we're actually getting this, and it's a real living, breathing thing.
Chris, could George Lucas's daughter beat you up?
Oh, absolutely.
Good enough. All right. It's on the Sci-Fi Network again, Tuesdays. That is tonight at 10 p.m. It's called the Robot Combat League, and it looks fantastic. Chris, thanks for taking the time to talk to us about it today.
Awesome, guys. I appreciate you talking about Whatnot with me.
My name is Doug Benson, and I'm here to recruit you to smoke weed or not give other people smoke weed.
They have a saying in Seattle, if you don't like the weather, wait 5 minutes and then shoot yourself in the face. I've been working on a new orgasm noise.
Oh!
Nice, right?
I'm really into astrology. Like, what sign are you, sir?
Aries. The sign of the goat. What sign are you, dude?
Virgo.
The goat!
And what about you, ma'am?
Pisces.
Goat.
That's the whole bit. Can you believe I wrote that down?
I call him Stony McGee. You folks know him as Mr. Doug Benson.
Mr. Benson.
Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. We're very excited to have you on April Foolishness again this year.
I'm so excited to be there, but I want to know, I was there last year, we were just watching.
Yeah.
Who is Brad Williams going to give a lap dance to this year?
We've been talking about
that. I don't think it will be me.
He gave Lisa May a lap dance.
The best lap dance of my life.
Insane. Like, I'd call it a violent lap dance.
It was that as well.
I'm not positive that she didn't end up pregnant from that. I really think that may have happened.
I'll never say it.
Yeah, so I don't know what he's planning, but I do know this. I know that there's somewhat of a battle going on between he and Jay Moore.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Jay Moore, last year, when he saw Brad Williams give Lisa the lap dance, said, all right, that's it. We're all playing for second. He just threw in the towel.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. But if Brad has to do it again, how could he top giving a lap dance to Lisa? How's
and Jay is now saying that he's, he's going out and working some clubs and stuff, and he's getting ready. He's going to be in the best shape of his life, and he's going to take Brad down.
So interesting.
A little bit of that. In between them, your high self.
And you won't care.
Yeah, and I've heard the promos, and I'm concerned that Tracy Morgan's going to get me pregnant.
Well, he did say that he's going to. You won't know, though, right?
I remember. No, I could be pregnant. I could go full term and not even realize it.
Were you in Foolishness 2 years ago?
Yes.
And I remember thinking, this guy's comedy is all about weed, but no way is he really, like, that high. Why would I think that? I don't know. But I did. And then I saw you that night, and you don't remember that at all, do you?
I do.
No,
I do.
It's really?
It's a way of life. I remember Patton was there, and Bill Burr was there. Bill Burr was mad that people were saying that Patton had the best set of the night because Bill Burr thought that I did.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He was upset for you.
Yeah. Bill Burr's, he's a straight shooter like that. He gets mad on behalf of others. and I appreciate it either way because they're both, those guys are two of the funniest guys. And of course, Bill, every single person you booked on this year's Foolishness has been a guest on my podcast. They're all friends and associates.
Wow.
So, it's going to be a fun night that remember for a long time.
We went through a lot of work. We should have just let you book them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just call me and get Doug Loves Movies guests.
Whoever you have Doug Loves Movies, just put them on our show.
Yeah.
That's your podcast, of course, Doug Loves Movies. And you have the greatest movie ever rolled.
Yeah, it just came out yesterday on 3/11 on a thing called chill.com.
You can couldn't just go. Wait till 4/20?
No.
A really good question.
By putting it out yesterday, there's plenty of time for stoners to get it together and download it by 4/20.
I see. You give them a little over a month, and then they're ready to go.
Yeah, and I'll promote it again in April as if it's brand new.
Our audience will not remember this either. So
yeah,
that's all right.
It's perfect.
Where can they get it?
It's called chill.com, and Ari Shaffir, who's also on The Foolishness, he's got a special on there. They're just starting to do this thing with comedians and the whole, do it yourself and, download my special, the thing that Louis C.K. started.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But in my case, it's actually a full movie. It's a documentary about my life on the road since Super High Me, and how just everywhere I go, everyone wants to get me high, and how I've, hit the jackpot.
Isn't that unbelievable?
The stoner lotto I've hit.
Isn't it crazy? Like, who needs weed less than you?
Mm-hmm.
'Cause you've got it.
But, yeah.
And yet, everywhere you go, people hand it to you.
Yeah, it's like, rich celebrities getting, getting those bags of awesome goodies whenever they present on an awards show or something.
'Cause who can afford it more than them, yet they get it for free?
Yeah, as soon as you can afford everything, people start giving you stuff. It's sick.
Did you even want to do weed jokes, or is this just your way of getting free weed?
It's all an elaborate plot. I keep teasing my audience audiences that I'm undercover and this is just a gigantic sting operation and that at my shows everyone's just going to get arrested.
You may be too far undercover to come back.
Deep undercover. It's like the undercover cop who's murdered people. It's no turning back.
There's no turning back at some point.
Doug Benson is here. You can follow him on Twitter at Doug Benson. His podcast is Doug Loves Movies, and the movie is The Greatest Movie Ever Rolled, which we will talk about more, including your life since the last movie, when we get back on the world-famous K-Rock. Doug Benson is in the studio with us. He, of course, is on April Foolishness. He's got a new movie out called The Greatest Movie Ever Rolled, which is basically your life on the road,
mm-hmm.
where you're raising money so that you can make a movie about your life on the road. Is
exactly.
that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. Okay.
It's a complicated premise. I kind of backed myself into a corner with Super High Me. It was sort of not a parody, but it was a kind of a ripoff of Super Size Me.
Right.
So then I kind of decided that that'd be a fun way to go with future Morgan Spurlock parody movies.
So he did The Greatest Movie Ever Sold.
Yeah. And I'm kind of behind because that movie's now right. He's made two or three movies since then. That guy's
you're gonna have
that
to
guy's
pick up
not
your work
on
rate.
Weed.
Yeah.
That guy does things a lot quicker because then his next movie was about Comic-Con in San Diego.
Oh, right.
So last summer I went to Comic-Con and filmed it, and we haven't finished editing it yet, but it's going to be called – my movie's going to be called Chronicon.
Okay, good.
And then – but then now Morgan – you know, he made a movie about facial hair, and I don't know what to do there.
Yeah, that one was done. Let it go.
Yeah, what do I do with that?
You don't have to do them all, right?
Yeah. How not to light your facial hair on fire when you're smoking a spliff. So then –
how long till you're done editing the Chronicon?
I don't know. It's like it's a process. But
are you editing
I don't
it?
Physically sit there and edit it. I just get to look at it and go, oh, that's good or that's not good. And but Morgan Spurlock now is directing the One Direction 3D concert movie. So I'm done. I'm done with Morgan Spurlock.
That's a challenge
there's
for
nothing,
sure.
There's nothing I can do there that is weed related.
Yeah, that's odd. That's an odd move.
His career's taken an interesting turn.
I think that's that's a cash grab.
That's a cash grab.
And also just it'll be a big deal, you know? It's like it'll get a bigger release than anything else he's done, you know?
Yeah, probably you're right.
It's, you know, it's another level. It's not really a documentary as much as it's just about this phenomenon that I know nothing about. I know nothing about One Direction other than it's not the direction I'm going.
You know enough to know you're going a different
there
direction.
There should be options.
Now, Doug, we were talking during the song about playing a room the size of the Gibson Amphitheater. And I think there are still some single tickets available if you want to book them. This is the show. If you can go by yourself, which a lot of people are uncomfortable
come on
doing,
down, loners.
It's totally,
yeah,
totally
it.
Fine to come down by yourself.
So it's going to be so much fun. Like last year, I just showed up and watched, and I sat in the house and you know, by myself and watched Brad Williams give Lisa May a lap dance. And it was.
Were you turned on?
It was
a little?
So much fun.
I was.
By Brad? No, I'm not asking you. I'm asking Doug.
Lap dances are sexy. There's no getting around it. It's funny that I mentioned lap dances and Brad because I was in Denver last weekend and I saw the world's smallest stripper. There's this girl named Sassy Cassie who travels around to strip clubs and she.
How tall is she?
3 feet or so.
Wow.
Really, really short. and looks like. You know, when she takes her top off and she's just got like bottoms on or whatever, it just looks like you're watching a toddler doing a strip routine. It was horrifying.
No.
And delightful.
Did you do it? Did you get one?
No, she wasn't giving lap dances because she could barely, you know, Brad at least can crawl up onto somebody's lap. She's so small that she doesn't want to mess with jumping around on a dude. So
sure.
She just does a dance, and then the dollar bills come raining down on her. Like everybody tips her because out of gratitude or sadness.
There you go.
It's
really more sadness.
Whichever way you're going that night.
But when Brad gives a lap dance, they don't do it out of sadness.
No,
by the way, there was
hilarious.
No one making it rain, was there?
No.
Oh, that's another way to go, maybe. Maybe that's how he tops himself, is he, you know, starts tweeting about how everyone should throw money on the stage.
That probably is necessary. And Lisa should have been making it rain as the receiver of the laptop.
I was busy.
That's the best part of a stripper's routine is when they're crawling around the floor picking up all the money.
That is the best part.
Especially if it's only like a buck or two.
The claim of shame.
It's so demoralizing. All right, so tell me the difference between playing a comedy club and playing Gibson. As far as being on stage, the pacing, is it different? Is it harder, difficult?
Yeah, easy? You've got to – well, pacing is a good idea because if you just stand in the middle of the stage, it's so huge.
No, I don't mean walking. I mean the speed with which you tell your jokes.
But that's also important. Yeah, yeah, you have to kind of sort of land or stick the punchlines because it's such a big – it's almost like you're playing a more than one time zone, you know, or there's like a delay on the reaction from the audience, you know. So if you're one of the fast-talking comics, I feel sorry for you, but also those guys, they adjust as well. Bill Burr, he'll do a rant that, like, you know, he talks really fast for a long time, but then when he stops speaking, that's when the audience, you know, just roars.
I'll tell you why this is just one of my favorite events of the year is because everybody that's there is there to laugh. They don't even care what it is or who it is on stage that makes them, but they're all ready.
Yeah.
They're a willing audience. And so you walk out on stage and Doug Benson, Lisa massacres your name or something, and you walk out on stage and everybody wants –
it's a tough one.
She wants you to succeed. She did. She did. What'd you do, Saget? Who'd you screw up? Did you screw up?
Here's Bob Sagat.
No, what was it?
Craig Robinson.
That's right, Craig Robinson. I said Craig Wilson.
Oh, right, Craig Wilson, yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. She had been drinking, in her defense.
A lot.
But it's a fun night. It's so fun, and nobody cares who's on stage, and I'm glad that you're there this year. It's going to be fantastic.
I'm super psyched about it.
Now, should we put you between Jay and Brad?
Sure.
I mean, what do you think is going to happen with that, throwdown?
I don't know. They're both very competitive, and I'm anxious to see what happens.
I love Brad. I love Brad. But I think Jay might – I think Jay's going to step up.
I think
up.
Maybe Tracy Morgan might give a lap dance to someone.
You think so? I'd like to see that.
Or one of many of Jay's various voices.
Any one of the voices that he does.
Yeah, he can give a schizophrenic lap dance.
Doug Benson again is Doug Loves Movie is the podcast. The Greatest Movie Ever Rolled is available now. It came out, you said, yesterday?
Yes. On 311, in honor of my friends in the band 311, whose cruise I just got back from.
You went on the 311
cruise. The third 311 cruise. And that's the best thing you could do if you like marijuana.
Is it the worst thing you can do if you don't like marijuana?
Probably. There's a lot of secondhand action on that part.
Imagine the people that didn't know that that's what it was, and they showed up, and they're old, and they just don't want to be bothered.
Yeah, that would be bad.
You can instant stream or HD download Doug's movie, The Greatest Movie Ever Rolled, from chill.com, available today. And I would suggest that you do that. And then, Doug, we're going to see you on April 6th. Very excited about that.
And tonight, on Comedy Central.
Tonight on Comedy Central.
Right. I did the Jeselnik Offensive, which lives up to its name because
– It is the most offensive show on TV.
Maybe. The first story we talk about is AIDS babies. And then it gets worse from there.
How can it get worse from there?
A couple murdered two guys and then had sex on their corpses. We talk about that.
All right, if that's your kind of comedy. And I know it's mine, but it's not everybody's.
It's not for everybody.
It's the Jeselnik Offensive on Comedy Central tonight at 10:30 with special guest Doug Benson.
Yes.
Doug, you're the best. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
We'll see you in April.
April.
From the people who brought you San Diego Comic-Con, it's WonderCon. WonderCon, WonderCon. Everybody's going to WonderCon.
I don't think that's the theme.
Oh, sorry.
You're my WonderCon.
That's it. Yes.
Is that it? It's happening down there in Anaheim. It is the 26th annual WonderCon. Listen, if you're like me and you are a comic book sci-fi geek, there's no better weekend in the world than one of these cons. You get down there on a Friday, you just roll around in it, you just hang out with your peeps, you walk the floor. You see the new merch, you see the new comics, you buy some classic stuff. Maybe you go down and check out the cosplay, you watch the masquerade. It's just a blast. That's all it is. Just a blast in a glass. Comic-Con's happening down at the Anaheim Convention Center on March the 29th through the 31st.
I'm hoping to be able to get down there. I'm hoping I'll be there this year. Usually I get a chance to at least spend one day down there at WonderCon. That's a nice thing. It's not like San Diego where you have to just invest a year's salary and an entire weekend to get down there to get a hotel room and to get tickets and everything else. This is close. This is Anaheim. You can drive down and spend one of the days down there, March 29th through the 31st. But let's say you want to go to the whole thing. Let's say, oh, I wish I had a pair of three-day passes to enjoy the joy fest that is WonderCon. Well, you're lucky. Because if you call right now, 1-800-520-1067, and you are caller, let's see, 26th annual WonderCon. How about callers number 26 and 27? Two winners will get a pair of three-day passes. That's passes for you and a friend to spend all 3 days at WonderCon this year. It's a great deal. And again, if you are an aficionado of comic books and fantasy and sci-fi and anime and all things good, you're going to love WonderCon this year down in Anaheim. It's just so awesome. I just can't say enough good things about it.
Really?
Those cons are just like some of my favorite experiences have been.
Yeah!
Because you're around your own people. You're around your like-minded people. Smart, funny, intelligent people who like the same things you like. It's just a good time.
Would you say they're all smart and funny and intelligent?
Most of them are.
All right.
The Geek Show inherit the Earth. You know that, man.
That's true.
Bet Roland will be down there.
I'm sure. He's already there.
He's probably already down there.
I don't think he'd miss the con. While we're talking about all things con, this is tragic news. Cartoon Network has announced that Star Wars Clone Wars, their animated series, is coming to an end after 5 seasons.
Did you watch that, Ralph?
I did.
Regularly?
Yes. Hmm. And it was brilliant animation and really well written. Lucasfilm has announced Monday that the company was moving into a new direction in animated programming.
No!
Which may or may not have to do with the fact that Disney owns Lucasfilm.
What?
Disney owns Lucasfilm. I'm just saying, if you're doing an animated project based on Star Wars, I'm sure the folks at Disney aren't too overjoyed if some other production company is putting together their animated works.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So they may want to consolidate the brand and bring it home. On its website, Lucasfilm said, "We are exploring a whole new Star Wars series set in a time period previously untouched in Star Wars films or television programming." Something about Star Wars that's untouched. It would have to do with women, I think.
I'm
kidding, my Star Wars friends. I know you're all very sexually active. And this hits close to home, too, because Lucasfilm is also postponing another animated project that came from the fertile mind of good friend of the Kevin and Bean Show, Seth Green.
Oh.
He was going to do a show called Star Wars Detours, which is sort of a humorous, tangential look at the Star Wars world. And that apparently has been put on the back burner by Lucasfilm as well. So makes me feel a little bad for Seth, because I know he was looking forward to that project. So. It just gets better and better. First, WonderCon's happening. And The Bachelor last night, Sean finally chose his wife-to-be. Were you guys as excited as I was when you found out? It was Catherine?
I don't watch
that. Catherine, she is just a little, just a little mocha, a little hot Java mocha, just piece of work she is.
I don't watch The Bachelor.
That creamy cocoa butter skin of hers? Oh, come on now.
Take it easy.
I thought I'd wait for the wedding.
Oh, Lisa. If you play your cards right, I'll take you as my date, because I'm sure I'll be invited.
I'm sure.
But the truly exciting news was after the fact, when it was announced that Desiree, Los Angeles' own Desiree, will become the Bachelorette this coming May. We get to see her. How dare you, sir? She is a lovely lady who comes from the finest of families and has the utmost in moral fiber. Actually, her family's a bit of a question mark. But her brother effed her right out of The Bachelor, by the way. Just effed her.
What?
You know, they have these, when it gets down to a certain number of girls, he takes each of the girls back to their hometown and he gets to meet their families.
No, I did not.
Are you not familiar with the format of The Bachelor?
No, I'm not. I don't watch it.
So he gets to go on these 4 hometown dates where he takes the girls back to their hometowns and he meets their families.
Okay.
And so he met Desiree's family. And the brother pulled him aside and said, "Yo, dude, I don't buy this, any of this from you. I think she's into you, and I don't think you're into her. You're just a playboy, man. You're just going to all these girls' homes, like banging them and having a good time." He's like, "No, that's not true." Like, "Yeah, okay, dude, whatever." His tatted up brother just completely ruined it for her.
Tatted up brother was probably right.
Sean was like, "I'm not going to. What's Thanksgiving going to be like with this family every year if I marry this girl?" So, brother blew it for him. So. I hope he's on better behavior for The Bachelorette.
Do you know that you're still talking about The Bachelor?
Oh, so exciting. All right. Night. And Justin Bieber's boyfriend, Lil Twist, continues to be just the best friend in the world. This is the guy Bieber keeps lending his cars to, and he gets
pulled over every time he drives it.
Ruining his life. Now, TMZ.com is reporting that Lil Twist crashed Bieber's legendary Silver Fisker Karma into a pole outside a liquor store.
Nice job, dumbass.
It's a $100,000 car, by the way.
How many of them do you think Bieber has?
Is the Fisker Karma, is that the electric one? Is that an electric car?
I think so, too.
I don't know either. I don't know much about the Fiskers. But, yeah, so now Biebs has to get that replaced, thanks to his good friend Lil Twist, who apparently shouldn't be behind the wheel at any time, ever.
Certainly, every time he's driven, he seems to get into some kind of trouble.
Yeah. Pull outside a liquor store. That's just... You're just begging to be taken in.
Really are.
Either you're loaded or you're on your way to get loaded or something. You can't drive either way. The liquor store also in trouble. Apparently, it was operating an illicit operation in the back. It was liquor in the front and poker in the rear. And you can't play cards like that here in the state of California.
That's
true. That was trouble. So. Pretty sweet, huh?
That isn't good for you.
Everybody's got a smile on their face. That's all I know. Today's celebrity birthdays. Actor Sam Levine is 31 years old today. Graham Coxon, guitarist for Blur, is 44 years old. Aaron Eckhart. Of course, he was Harvey Dent in The Dark Knight, but now he's got that Olympus Has Fallen movie where he plays the president. Looks amazing. 45 years old. Rod Jeremy is still healing, but he's reached his 60th birthday. Hope you're feeling better, Ron. James Taylor turned 65 years old today, and legendary singer-actress, soon to be seen again in Arrested Development, Liza Minnelli, turned 67 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
I don't know what's going on in the world of beauty, but there's the fire facial that we found out about recently. A fire facial.
Yeah, that seems like a bad idea.
It's called the Hao-Lieo treatment, or fire facial. They actually put a towel soaked in alcohol on your face, and then they light it on fire.
Here's the thing. Besides that it's dangerous, what is that supposed to do for your skin?
They say it rejuvenates it, Lisa.
How?
It makes it look so much better.
What?
I don't know.
That's stupid.
I don't know. And then there's the vampire facelift. Or the vampire facial.
And what is that?
This is where they take some of your own blood. Kim Kardashian just did it. They take your own blood.
Yeah.
And give you some type of facial. I don't know. Let's listen to this report and see.
On Sunday's Courtney and Kim Take Miami, Kimmy gets a vampire facial. During the unconventional procedure, blood is taken from the 32-year-old's arm, spun so the platelets are removed, and injected into her face with small needles. Kim squeals in pain when she undergoes the experience, and even cries. So, was it worth it?
Oh my God, I'll never get a facelift if it feels like that.
Injecting it. Okay.
Yeah, that sounds
horrible. That makes
horrible.
More sense, though.
It does?
Well, yeah.
As a facial?
I mean, as opposed to, like, just putting blood on your face.
I guess. I don't know that it's any better.
I'm not saying
they inject
it's
it instead of putting
better,
it.
But potentially it could do something.
You got the fire. You got the blood. What's going on?
Women are desperate.
The King of Mexico set up a specialist. He is Pierre Gaston, the owner and operator of the Shangri-La Spa.
Okay.
Hello.
Hello, Pierre.
Hello, how are you today?
Very good. How are you, sir?
Welcome to Shangri-La Spa. How may I help you?
Well, we're just curious about some of the different latest facials that seem to be.
Oh, yes. Do you would like to have facial?
Tell me about the fire facial.
Oh, the fire facial is one of our most popular facials.
Okay.
We soak a piece of cheesecloth.
Okay.
With alcohol.
Alcohol.
And we put our special elixir on your face.
Yes.
And you don't want to know what special elixir is.
No, I don't.
Probably not.
And then we cover your face with the elixir in the towel soaked in alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
And then we light it on fire.
How does that help?
Well, it stimulates the skin. And it removes dullness from the skin. Your skin, it gets very bright when it's on fire.
That is true.
It seems like
it temporarily relieves the sagging and the wrinkles from your face.
Okay. Do a lot of people get the fire facial?
Many women love the fire facial.
They do. All right.
Yes, they love it because it is quick and very effective. And once the blisters go away, your skin just looks so sexy.
That sounds bad. That I don't want that.
It's wonderful. You should try. No.
What about the vampire facial?
Yeah,
what about?
I've never heard of that before.
Vampire facial is very popular now that Kim Kardashian has done it.
Right.
We take blood from you.
Uh-huh.
And we spin it.
You spin my own blood?
Yeah, okay. To remove... to increase the platelet numbers, it makes it plasma.
Okay.
And then we inject the plasma back into your face with little tiny needles. We shoot it into your face.
That sounds like torture.
You know when you get the face shot, you know?
No, could you explain that?
It's a little needle, and it goes in your skin.
Right.
Oh, okay. Shot in the face.
Right.
With plasma.
Right.
And it fills in the volume of the face. It fills the creases and the wrinkles, and it produces more collagen and elastin in the skin.
That seems bad
as
well.
Your own blood is natural. It's natural.
But not my own blood on the outside of my own, inside of my own face. What's happening?
You already have blood inside your face already.
But so why do I need to take it from my arm and put more in?
It's extra blood. It's extra blood we use from your arm and put in your face. And it's delicious, and it makes your face full and youthful, and it is very effective.
Do you have any just a facial? Where
we have all kinds of facials.
Okay.
We have, to fill in the creases and the wrinkles in the face, you need to pump up the flesh. You need to plump up the skin.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
You need to make a natural swelling occur.
Okay.
So we have a new facial called ball peen facial.
Did you say ball peen?
Yes.
Like the ball peen hammer?
Exactly. We take ball peen hammer and we smack you in the face all over with it, and then your face swell up and all the wrinkles go away.
What happened to the nice music?
Omar, play more music.
You have a guy there named Omar?
Yes, he's in charge of all the special effects here at the spa.
I see. You have special effects.
Yes, we could make a spa environment for you when you come in to get hit in the face with ball peen hammer.
I don't see
I'm not doing that.
Wanting the ball peen hammer either.
How about the natural air facial?
The natural air facial?
Yes. We just use air.
Yeah.
And we make small incision in your face, and we inject the hose from an air compressor into your face. And we pump your face up to 30 PSI, and all the wrinkles go away, because your head is like a giant balloon.
Is there some kind of accreditation that you're supposed to have, and do you have it?
We take accreditation, we take cash, we take checks, you have.
Okay.
And the sandblaster facial.
The sandblaster.
Yes. That's, as you can imagine, a sandblaster
right.
Put on your face. And if it takes off all of the wrinkles.
It seems like it would take everything off.
Most of the skin and muscle as well. But you're a beautiful skull face when we are done with you.
That does not sound...
Very smooth, shiny skull.
That's not good either.
And then we have the all-natural protein facial blast, we call it.
Yes.
It's natural cream protein.
Right.
It's how do you call it? The white creamy protein.
Oh, where does that?
What is the white? Is the white?
I'm not.
Sticky white.
I don't think we can.
Gooey white stuff filled with protein. What is that called?
I don't think we can. Whipped cream.
Yogurt. That's what. Yogurt. Yes.
Okay. Good. You had me worried.
Spray yogurt in your face out of a long nozzle.
Excellent.
You love it. I love it. I take protein in the face every day.
I bet you do.
And it's delicious. So sometimes you just want to go, and you start licking it off your lips because you're like, oh my God, this yogurt's so tasty.
Okay, all right. We have to go, but thank you for your time. We have more tickets tomorrow morning for April Foolishness. Keep listening for that.
Okay.
Ralph Garman is here now with a look at the Showbiz Beat.
No one helps me in that other room. No one.
Ralph just came running in.
I'm printing hot off the press stories, and Dave's like, oh, I think I'll print something first about the Clappers' new sneakers they're wearing next game. It's like, come on, I got stories I need to print.
That's
not my fault.
Oh, don't worry. I'll ran it into you. Madness.
If you're looking to Dave for help, though.
Well, they're supposed to be our crack support staff.
I know that. I know what they're supposed to be.
I got a staff for them. I got a staff for all of them right here.
Oh, God.
The staff of Ra, I'm talking about, from Indiana Jones.
Oh, that's not where you were pointing.
That is where I was pointing.
Mm-hmm.
God's sakes. Hey, you want to be on Big Brother, don't you?
Is that still on?
Yes. It's going into its 97th season.
Yeah, about.
Anyway, I'll give you the heads up if you want to be on television. Big Brother's looking for people to live in a house with other annoying people. Hey, are you annoying? Do you like hanging around other annoying people? Well, then Big Brother's the show for you. They just announced they're having a casting session on Saturday, March the 16th. That would be this coming Saturday.
That would be.
At Radford Studios of CBS. For those of you not familiar, the Radford CBS studios are located right there in Studio City, right off Ventura. And if I'm not mistaken, I think it's Ventura and Radford.
Maybe the intersection.
I
that may be the name
true.
Of the street where it's actually held.
Just look for Pat O'Brien. He's standing out
I'll
there.
I'll be right there. You know what I look like. March 16th from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. So go on down there and get on television, won't you? Just give me a shout out. While we're talking about TV, another name has entered the late night talk show host arena. Conan O'Brien has tapped a gentleman to follow his show on TBS with another half-hour comedy show. The name is comedian Pete Holmes will be hosting the show.
Pete Holmes.
Pete Holmes is a stand-up that was on Conan O'Brien that caught Conan's attention when he was on his show. You may know him as the voice of the baby in all those E-Trade commercials.
Oh. Like,
oh, yeah.
Oh, I guess riding a dog is frowned upon in this establishment. That kid, that funny
yeah.
kid. He's the voice of that kid.
Right.
And he's also done a very funny series of college humor sketches where he plays Batman. He plays Christian Bale's Batman. Have you ever seen those?
I haven't.
Oh, Larry. He's like him picking out which voice he's going to use. I think this is scary. I'll use this voice. And the one with it was with Bane and talk about how he banged Talia al Ghul, his girlfriend,
right.
while he's dying after he got shivved in the ribs. Like, oh, yeah, I wrecked her. Anyway, he's a very funny guy, and now he's going to get his own half-hour show that follows Conan O'Brien on TBS. So, changes in the air, peoples. How about the Jimmy Kimmel doing those kind of numbers for
his
new lineup, his new time slot?
He goes to 11:35 and just kills.
I know, he's doing great. Couldn't be happier. All right, let's talk about some other showbiz news. Kevin's favorite thing in the world, I have to tell you, if you're a longtime listener of the show, you know that Kevin's favorite thing in the world is wax museums.
Loves them.
Can't get enough wax museums. He'll be happy to know that.
They don't ever look like the people.
They look
My main concern is they don't look anything like them.
They are remarkable facsimiles of the actual stars themselves. No one does it better than Madame Tussauds. And she is announced. Is there still a Madame Tussauds? Is she still around?
I don't
have no idea.
Think so.
Madame Tussauds has announced they are doing a life-size wax quintuplet of One Direction.
Woo!
Yeah, One Direction is going to be immortalized in wax. Not only are they going to make lifelike wax reproductions of each and every member of One Direction, but then that band is going on tour.
The
band is going on tour. They will start off in the London Wax Museum, April through July. Then the New York City one from July to October. And then Sydney, Australia, October to January.
Well, that should stir up the wax world.
It sure will, Lisa. I'll tell you, wax fans everywhere.
Are there wax fans?
Oh, yeah.
The wax enthusiasts? Are
the
you
wax
kidding?
Wax enthusiasts are thrilled to be able to see the Wax One Direction in real life.
Does not sound good.
How can you love it? It's crap. They're actually making wax fans. Fans
are
made of wax that will sit in the audience and watch the Wax One Direction.
I like it.
I wish they took the real One Direction and just covered them with wax.
Oh, that'd be good.
Put them on tour. That'd be better for everybody.
Look a lot more like them.
Adele's got a new best friend. A young lady by the name of Jennifer Lawrence. Those two have been palling around together since the Academy Awards. Apparently they hit it off at the Oscars, and they've been BFFs ever since.
They seem like they would be good friends. They both seem like they don't have a lot of screening process and what
right.
they say.
Not a lot of self-editing.
Right, and they would
don't
get along
don't take
well.
Themselves too seriously.
Right.
Don't take the business they're in too seriously. They're refreshingly honest, and they seem to have a good sense of humor and a good head on their shoulders. There have been talks that Jennifer now will be moving to London because she still needs to film another installment of the X-Men. She plays the blue one, you know.
Mystique.
Mystique. She plays Mystique in the X-Men series franchise. Yeah.
Oh.
In the last one, First Class, she was Mystique.
Oh, okay.
Remember when she morphed into Rebecca Romijn for a moment there when she was shape-shifting? Do you remember that scene?
No, I just remember Rebecca Romijn doing it.
She was the original. Oh. And then they did the younger versions. They did sort of the prequel.
Maybe I didn't see that
with
one.
James McAvoy and Fassbender as Magneto. You don't remember that one?
I may not have
all?
Seen that one.
She's returning to that role, so she's going to be in London, and Adele's trying to talk her into moving into her neighborhood so they can pal around in London together. And they'll have a wacky montage sequence of them being best friends through London and trying to make those beef eaters laugh in front of Buckingham Palace, trying to tickle them and get them to laugh, and then drinking pints of beer in pubs and stuff. It'd be like the new Laverne and Shirley. Can't wait to see those two together. And Jennifer Love Hewitt thinks her boobs are worth $5 million.
I'd say that's pretty accurate.
There's a store in the USA Today interview with her this week where she talked about someone jokingly bringing up the fact that maybe she should insure the ladies up front since they are such a big part of her allure. And so she hasn't actually insured her boobs, but she said, well, yeah. And she looked down and said, these are worth $5 million to
me. Check out those gigantic knockers.
So
everybody's running with it like it's a real story?
Yes. Everyone's like, oh, Jennifer Love Hewitt insures her boobs for $5 million. It's unbelievable, see? Quick, run this down to the press and get it out of the paper. People on the street need to know about her boobs, see? But it turns out it was just a joke. However, that was her number that she slapped on him was $5
million. Ah.
That's $2.5 million per. I would like to be the insurance examiner who comes by. Before we write your policy, madam, we need to make sure we need to do what they call an appraisal of the items in question that need to be insured.
Along with a yearly update.
That's the way the insurance company works. They have to appraise the merchandise before
right.
they actually give you the policy. So I would get out my little scale. I would weigh them. I would take impressions of them in plaster of Paris.
Right.
So in case you lose them, we can
sure.
can get replacements made.
Somehow I think you'll be that guy with all of those those replacements in your house.
And is Sharon Stone the meanest boss in history? Well, it depends on who you ask. If you ask any of her housekeepers, they would say yes. There's a new lawsuit been slapped against Sharon Stone. For those of you who don't know the name, she was a big star back in the 80s, 90s.
Yeah.
Basic Instinct, Total Recall. A woman named Angelica Castillo slapped her with a lawsuit, saying that while she was under the employ of Ms. Stone, she injured her back. Doctors said you should avoid any heavy lifting because you seriously injured your back. However, her boss, Sharon Stone, said that was stupid, called her crazy, and insisted that she lift some heavy grocery bags. Well, Ms. Castillo did so and apparently injured her back even more so. And now she is suing because Sharon reportedly fired her after the incident. Well, what good is a housekeeper if she can't lift your bags?
Exactly.
You don't need one with a disc all popping out of her back. They're useless.
It's true.
This is the second lawsuit filed against Sharon Stone by a housekeeper. Last year, she had another suit filed against her for wrongful termination and harassment by a woman named Erlinda Elliman. She claimed that Sharon wouldn't allow her to read the Bible or speak in her native Filipino tongue in front of her children. Anytime Sharon Stone's kids were in the house, she couldn't read the Bible or speak Filipino. Well, God forbid, you don't want them exposed to another language.
Yeah, what's going to happen? I don't even understand.
Or the Bible.
They might get religious or learn a second
language. They might become
language.
Religious Filipinos. Yeah. You don't want that. They got nothing in common with your kids then. Suddenly, they become Bible-thumping Filipinos. What are you going to do then? That is scheduled to go on trial in July, by the way. That case is still pending, so we'll wait and see. Wait and see what happens. It is Tuesday. That means new CDs and DVDs are available for your purchase. Some great choices this week, by the way. If you haven't seen the documentary Sound City by Mr. David Eric Grohl.
Oh, it's so good.
I can't recommend it highly enough. It is a great documentary, even if you're not that into music. Like my wife, for example. We went, Dave invited us down to the screening, the premiere, and the big concert afterwards.
Yes, Pat O'Brien.
And yeah. She said...
I think she invited all of us.
Why am I going to see this? I'm not a really big music fan. I don't think I really enjoy this movie so much. And she watched it, and she was like, oh, my God, that was fascinating.
Yeah, whether you like it or you think you'll like it, you'll like it.
Fascinating stories. So that's available on DVD today. You can check that out. Or
especially when they do this.
Balls, 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 balls.
The soundtrack from that documentary is also available today. Sound City Reel to Reel, it's called. And check that out. Rise of the Guardians, also on DVD today. That's the animated film about Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny and
The Tooth Fairy. They all gang up to fight evil. Life of Pi. About a boy and his lion, his tiger, whatever. They're on an ocean in a boat, and it's a tiger and a guy, and the tiger doesn't eat him. Whatever. BS.
Spoiler alert.
Who Framed Roger Rabbit? 25th Anniversary Edition on Blu-ray today. You can check that out. Classic. Also on CD today, the next day, the new David Bowie album is dropping today. And What About Now? New music from Bon Jovi. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Liza Minnelli, longtime singer, actress, gay icon. She is 67 years old. Isn't it funny? She's a gay icon. Her mother, Judy Garland, was a gay icon.
Yeah.
Liza Minnelli's husband, Peter Allen, was gay.
Yes.
There's a lot of gay in that life.
There sure
she
is.
She surrounded herself with gay. And why not? It's a good time. James Taylor is 65 years old today. Ron Jeremy, legendary adult film star, turned 60. He's still on the mend from his aneurysm, but apparently doing very well. Aaron Eckhart, super talented actor, and he is dreamy. Just ask Kevin. He rang the bell for him this morning.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
a good-looking fella. He's got that new movie, Olympus Has Fallen, coming out. Can't wait to see that. He's 45 today. Pete Doherty of Baby Shambles and the Libertines, singer-guitarist, was a longtime boyfriend of Kate Moss, 34 years old today.
A lot of people never thought he'd make it to 34, I'll
That's
tell you
for
that.
Sure. Sam Levine, very funny actor from Glorious Bastards, and he was on Freaks and Geeks, one of my favorite shows. He is 31 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, all new Kevin and Bean show. We have the president of the UFC, Dana White, on the program tomorrow talking about UFC 158, which I believe is this Saturday night. It is GSP against Nick Diaz.
Ooh.
Is it Nick or Nate?
Nick Diaz.
Bick. Adam Carolla. This Week in Rage. And also tomorrow morning, the star of the incredible Burt Wonderstone, we have Steve Carell.
What the what?
Tomorrow morning.
That movie looks funny.
It does look funny, doesn't
it? I can't
it?
Wait to see it.
Tomorrow morning, we have that, and we have your tickets for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness. Come back then, won't you?